From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 18th day of November, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, leaders of the House Ag Committee are opposed to legislation that would add the Federal Reserve to the governmental agencies responsible for regulating commodities exchanges. And the U.S. Meat Export Federation is hopeful the livestock industry is beginning to round the corner to better times. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then he'll have an update of land values in the Midwest and how they've fared over the last 18 months. Oh, and don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take up the agricultural weather forecast. And that it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby December wheat down 8.5 cents at $5.66 and a quarter. The March at 5.88 down 8.5, and the May contract at 5.99 and a half down 9 and a quarter. In the corn pit, they finished lower as well. That after marching higher for a good portion of the day. December contract $3.98 down 4. The March at 4.13 and 3 quarters in the corn pit down 3 and 3 quarters. May futures at 4.23 and a half down 3 and 3 quarters. In July at 4.30 and 3 quarters down 4 cents. September futures 4.35 and a half down a nickel on the afternoon. January soybeans 2.5 cents lower at $10.27. The March at 10.33 and a quarter down 2.5. And the May contract at 10.35 and a quarter down 2 and 3 quarters. July soybeans at 10.39 and a quarter down 2 and 3 quarters. The August $10.37 and a half down 4 cents on the day. December bean meal up $1.80 at $310.50, that is, $1.80 higher. January at $302.10, 40 cents higher. December bean oil, 6 cents higher at $39.75. December live cattle at $83.75, $1 lower. November feeders down 20 at $92.95, and December lean hogs at $56.45. A nickel higher on the afternoon. You are, of course, listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, a settlement price in the December contract at $79.58 a barrel, up 44 cents. December ethanol at $2.12, a penny and 9 tenths higher. Natural gas at 4.25 and 6 tenths, down 27 and 4 tenths. The RBOB up 5 tenths of a cent at $2 and a penny for the day. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $2.04 and 7 cents, a penny and a tenth lower. Gold futures at $1,140.70, down $1.90, and the Dow currently just about 46 points lower at 10,392 on the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 75.19 is down 0.17 for the day. The CRB index at 277.53.28 higher, and the Goldman Sachs at 520.19. That's up 0.61 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like, as produced by our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, with an update from Mike Sola. He says tonight, cloudy, some scattered showers, a few wet snowflakes, possibly mixing with rain in west central and northern Illinois. Lows will range between 37 and 42. Now tomorrow, cloudy, scattered showers, a few wet snowflakes possible during the morning in some northern locations. Highs tomorrow will range from 43 in northwestern Illinois to 55 in the far south. The extended forecast says dry weather is expected on Friday. Most areas will remain dry on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, the exception being a chance of scattered light showers from time to time in west central and northern Illinois. The next widespread rain will arrive Monday night into Tuesday and last into Tuesday night in Illinois and Wednesday in Indiana. Enough rain will fall by way to cause new or continuing field work delays. More on the agricultural weather when we get to the bottom of the hour and we speak with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. We always talk with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Hi, good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Paul, I want to talk about ethanol and its potential over the next year to keep the corn market firm. What do you think the possibilities are? Has the ethanol industry weathered the process of several bankruptcies? I know ADM has some new production coming online in the next couple of months.
Yeah. Well, these are my opinions and not necessarily ADM or ADM investors, Todd, but my personal opinion is that, of course, as I understand it from some of the quarterly reports, that, yes, we are going to be starting on stream, and they're big monumental investments. And, you know, I understand that this is one of the bright spots as far as corn demand is concerned. We know that the livestock industry has gotten beat up. We know that the export sales on corn are very lousy. It would be wonderful if we did have an EPA or some extra government pushes to push more corn and into ethanol. We know the high-priced sugar has basically slowed down, I think, some exports of sugar ethanol in the world. And as a result of that, our corn sweeteners, is also, it's a bright spot because we do, that's one of the big areas in our company as well. But, ethanol could always, stand some more support, by larger blends. It's a wonderful fuel. It's put tons of people to work. It did have some bad problems with, the higher-priced corn and people not meeting margin calls and things like that. So the bright spot is that we hear a lot of jawboning from people that say that the administration's pushing it, but we're still waiting for those mandates to get larger.
Well, I guess the real question here is there enough demand from corn-based ethanol at this point without U.S. EPA, and they have a deadline, I think, self-imposed of December 1, though it's unlikely they'll meet that, without them updating or at least giving some view of the future as to where they'd like to go with the blend rates? Now it's at 10% across the country, could go higher, up to 15 if U.S. EPA were to make any moves at all. Some probably in the middle is probably much more likely. But without any of that, is there enough demand in the ethanol industry to really put a firm floor underneath this marketplace?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to reserve comment on that because that is a very economically sensitive question. But my answer is basically is for three things here. In order to maintain the momentum, and in order to maintain the investments that these wonderful companies in the United States have made, and a lot of cooperatives have made in the U.S., and farmers have made in it, that the momentum needs to have some help, and it's just not fair to an industry to keep promising and not fulfilling these promises. And I think that the bottom line is if we really are interested in renewable energy, let's vote for it and get it enacted. And, wind energy, even some of this new coal technology, would put a lot of people to work. And I think that's one of the bottom lines that we really are wanting in a big way is putting people to work, and there's no better way to do it than renewable energy. And so to answer your question, I think the answer is we need it, and going backwards is not part of the equation.
And turn your attention now to what happened in Chicago. There was a bit of a noon swoon. We were headed higher for a good portion of the day and then failed to finish in that green area and managed to close lower in both the corn and the beans.
Well, two things I'm going to harp on this one is there was a ton of corn and beans moved in the United States. And if it moves here in the United States, it moves around the world as well. And, the farmers saw some pretty good price levels, both on corn and soybeans, old and new crop. And I understand the hedge pad was very, very busy in the industry. Number two, there is starting to become subtle conversations that maybe there's not going to be an interest rate hike, but some of the stimulus packages, maybe the discount window is not going to be pushed, at least by some of the Fed people. And I think that we did see some general ideas of some profit taking. And let's face it, gold being up almost $100 an ounce here, the stock market up over 100 points, nonstop, crude oil up. As the chief executive officer of Exxon says, we'd have $60 crude oil if it wasn't for the dollar policy. And so, there's a lot of fluff in these markets, and, this is the reason why I think Mr. Farmer moved a lot of corn and soybeans in the marketplace today.
Hey, one other note here. December corn next year topped out at 450 today, and it had a low of 440, settled just above that. That's for next year. And November beans at 1043 and three quarters. You said the hedge pads were busy. Much reason to do any hedging of the new crop?
Well, definitely. I think there was a lot of $10 beans moved in central Illinois. And, as far as new crop corn, at least four and a quarter on some corn, probably booked pretty easily in the Midwest. Those are reasons why people, one man in the office said, buy new pickup trucks. that's profit. And particularly if you can go in there and sell some of these higher-priced corn and soybeans and fix your inputs, both fertilizer and some of your other inputs, it does add to the bottom line and bring in the word profit. And when there's profit, those people pay taxes, and that's what the economy is all about.
Paul, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, leaders of the House Agriculture Committee say they oppose legislative proposals that could turn the Federal Reserve into a backup regulator of U.S. futures exchanges. The proposal could add a Fed layer to regulation of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the Kansas City Board of Trade, and other exchanges. Assistant U.S. Attorney General Christine Varney says her department will take up an investigation to determine why New York State farmers are getting record low payments for milk, even as consumers are seeing just a fraction of the savings. Varney, who heads the Antitrust Division of the U.S. Department of Justice, promised to coordinate some of its activities with the broad antitrust community. Among the industries said to be on the DOJ's antitrust watch list are airlines, large commercial truckers, railroads, refiners, food processors, meat packers, dairy operators, and seed suppliers. The Philippine Department of Agriculture has lifted import restrictions on meat and bone meal imports from the United States. The decision follows a safety certification from the World Animal Health Organization. The department imposed a ban on meat and bone meal imports from the U.S. in 2005 following an outbreak of mad cow disease. Today, the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee plans to mark up Senate Bill 510, the FDA Food Safety Modernization Act. The bill requires all facilities that manufacture, process, pack, or hold food to have in place risk-based preventive control plans to address identified hazards and prevent alteration and give FDA access to those plans and relevant documentation. The spokesperson for the U.S. Meat Export Federation says that the September pork export numbers suggest the struggling market is beginning to turn. Joe Sheely.
The September exports were the strongest we've had since April, and so that's what makes us feel like we've really got some positive momentum heading into the last quarter of the year, and feel like this will be far and away our second best year for pork exports next to 2008, and we feel like we can get back on a comparable level with where we were last year.
Sheely says September pork exports were almost 154,000 metric tons, worth about $348 million. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. He'll be back in a moment when he'll tell us about Midwest land values. They've continued to soften in the first half of 2009. And he says in August, the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago reported that the price of good quality cropland in several leading farm states was 3% lower on July 1 than it was a year earlier. Farmland values in Iowa and Michigan lost 5%, Illinois and Wisconsin fell 2%, and Indiana values were up slightly from a year ago, since farmland prices have stabilized. Last week at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Dave caught up with the president and CEO of Farmers National Company, Jim Farrell, and asked him about 2010 land values.
Well, Dave, as we look ahead to 2010 land values, right now we see a pretty strong market. There's nothing that's going to indicate that the market will drop substantially going into 2010. The commodity prices have stabilized some with this wet harvest that we've had. Commodity prices are obviously one of the big drivers. The economy is another driver. The thing that's been holding the land market steady and increasing the land market recently is fewer land listings. There's not very many people willing to sell right now. We've got a lot of people wanting to buy. We don't see that demand tapering off, at least not right now. So I would say we should see steady to strong land values going into 2010, at least what we see right now.
Are you seeing regional differences in prices now forward for 2010? And if so, what are some of the variables that you anticipate those regional price differences to revolve around?
There are some regional price differences, and it's interesting to watch. Some of the very heavy livestock areas are not quite as aggressive in the buying, so the land market isn't quite as strong in those areas. The livestock market has been hurt. Livestock producers, I should say, have been hurt over the last probably 3 years with the high prices of grains, and profits have been down. Other regional differences that we're seeing are more in the dry areas. If you go down into Kansas, western Nebraska, areas where we have been under drought for quite a few years, where this year was almost a breakout year away from drought, we have seen the market not back off in those areas. That market stayed strong all through 2009. It didn't back off in that first quarter in those areas because the market had not accelerated as rapidly in those areas as it had going east into eastern Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio.
Is that because of the demand issue that you mentioned earlier, that there's just not enough good quality land on the market, and you have a lot of buyers who are looking for good quality land, and they're not going to settle for 40 acres of pasture?
That's exactly what it is, Dave. We've got a lot of people chasing the good land right now. I would tell you that we've seen an increase in land values over the last 90 days, which surprised us. We thought the land market would stay steady. But for top quality land, we've actually seen the prices go up. And it's because, just as you said, the investors that are in the market today, There would be more investors buying in Illinois than there is east of or west of Illinois, but Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, you'll have more investor activity there. We'll have a higher degree of farmer activity as we go east of the, I'm sorry, west of the Mississippi River. And some of that has to do with corporate ownership laws as to how who can own land in what states. Different states have different laws regulating who can buy. And Illinois has always been a hotbed of investor interest. So the investors are looking at top quality land. They want good investments, and they want a 4 or 5% return on investment. And they've been reluctant to go to the poorer quality land, even though you can buy the poorer quality land and get that return today. History tells us that the poorer quality land falls hardest and falls first when the market drops and takes longest to come back. And I think investors and farmers who are buying are both looking at that scenario saying, we really want to buy good stuff.
As Farmers National Company CEO Jim Farrell, he spoke with the Illinois Public Media Agriculture Director Dave Dickey.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the line with us this afternoon. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about that ethanol production facility you have there. How's it doing at this point?
It's pretty good here. Margins are probably the best we've seen in 2.5 to 3 years, so basically since the beginning of the ethanol boom here. So due to with natural gas being relatively cheap, corn being relatively cheap to $80 oil, and then being able to sell DDGs at higher percentage of corn value that we could here 6 months ago. So margins are excellent right now.
Does that translate into a higher corn price over time, do you think?
You know, I think that does translate to more and more demand. I think some of the plants that are sitting idle, we have at least one, I believe maybe two here in the state of Indiana that are sitting idle. And, we've had decent margins here going on 2 to 3 months now. It just makes you wonder when someone's going to stick their neck out there and, if not buy the plant, at least come up with an operating agreement with the owners of the plant to get that plant up and running.
We'll watch that and check in with you occasionally on what happens with those plants from time to time. Let's talk about cash grain in the marketplace. Producers rewarding the marketplace with both corn and soybeans today?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting here. When the rally first started here 2 to 3 weeks ago, we saw more guys interested in selling deferred 2010 and then 2011 corn. And then here in the last week or so, we've seen them really start to sell the nearby just about as heavy as they have the deferred. I think part of that is bins are getting filled up, corn needs to come to town, and then also we're getting to price levels where guys feel comfortable moving something here.
And speaking of price levels, what are your bids for the day?
Yeah, Climbers in today for nearby corn at $3.80. Delphi beans are at $9.92.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Todd.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Anderson's Climbers facility located in Delphi, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. On a Wednesday afternoon, you can listen to him again on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. I'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated about the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Champaign Unit 4 school officials are refuting media reports that indicate any soft lockdown has been put into effect in anticipation of a report regarding the police shooting death of a teenager. But in a news release, Assistant Superintendent Michael McFarland says he has asked principals to prepare for such a move in case the district needs to increase security soon. Unit 4 will consider locking school doors and monitoring who enters and exits the building once Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz releases the results of her investigation regarding the October 9th death of Kawan Carrington. But Assistant Superintendent Beth Shepard says as of now, no decision has been made. Congressman Tim Johnson says his biggest concern over the incarceration of Guantanamo Bay detainees at a Western Illinois prison is that those suspected terrorists would have different rights if tried on U.S. soil. Spokesman Phil Bloomer says the Urbana Republican has signed his name to different legislation and letters opposing the move to Thompson Prison. One sponsored by Congressman Aaron Schock of Peoria would prohibit the use of federal funds to support the transfer of those prisoners. And Johnson plans to add his name to a letter from Northbrook Republican Congressman Mark Kirk on the vulnerability of Illinois landmarks. The U of I is getting a roughly $900,000 grant to study the possible environmental impact of storing man-made greenhouse gas under water reservoirs. The EPA grant covers what could be a three-year research project involving subsurface storage called sequestration. The plan is to see if injecting carbon dioxide from coal-fired power plants could cause changes in reservoir pressure. They want to see if that could cause saltwater to migrate from deeper groundwater and contaminate fresh water near the surface. More than two dozen ministers and activists say they don't believe Chicago School Board President Michael Scott committed suicide. And they're calling on state and federal authorities to conduct their own investigations. In a sometimes emotional news conference today, the ministers and activists said there's no way Scott would have taken his own life. They pointed out activities he was planning and comments he'd made recently about his ex-wife's death and how he planned to help his grieving children. Scott's body was found early Monday, partially submerged in the Chicago River. He'd been shot once in the head. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon, and Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City is on the line with us as usual. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Weather in the Midwest been gray and gloomy again. That seems to be usual for this particular fall, although there were a couple of good weeks in there. Will farmers get a break anytime soon?
Well, yes and no. I'm concerned about the fact that we're not going to get warm across the region in a significant manner. And you know as well as I do, the evaporation rates at this time of the year are pretty low. And with all the rain that's fallen from this upper-level low-pressure system this week, we've got an increasing great amount of water standing in some fields now. And it's not likely to go away very soon, very fast. We're saturated all the way down into the soil in quite a few areas, and the evaporation rates will be pretty low with temperatures running in the 40s and 50s on a daily basis for this next five-day period at least. And then we've got more precipitation coming up. So I'm afraid that if you're in a low-lying area and have a situation where there's already too much moisture on the ground, I'm afraid it's not going to go away right away. But we'll look for some kind of a brief period of warming maybe taking place just before the next storm system comes in. But I don't want to sound too terribly pessimistic. We'll get some work done, but I'm just concerned about the lateness of the season and with the way the pattern's setting up. There's going to be some cold air coming down into the U.S. as well. That occurs in the second week of the two-week outlook, and not only will it bring us more moisture as it debuts into the region, but it will also reduce those evaporation rates additionally. The one good bit of news possibly is that maybe it'll get cold enough for the ground to freeze up, and then maybe we can get out and work some of the fields again.
Yeah, that was my next question. It would be nice. I think producers probably would take a frozen field as long as it's not covered with snow and a lot of precip that comes along with it. But it sounds like if it gets cold enough, it'll actually snow along with it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what some of the models are trying to say today. But I'll tell you what, I look at these models every day, and I really think that they're overdoing the cold right now. And so if we just kind of adjust them a little bit, the snow would probably stay in the northern half of the Midwest. That'd be a problem for the Dakotas and Minnesota and Wisconsin, parts of Iowa. But for the lower Midwest, maybe not such a bad scenario. We might get a little snow to occur infrequently in that second week of the two-week outlook across maybe northern parts of Illinois and over into Michigan. But maybe the southern areas could stay warm enough to avoid that, and maybe we'll get by here. You know, we've been pretty lucky even all other accounts so far, so maybe we'll luck out on this one, too.
All right, and then turn your attention to other parts of the world.
Yeah, I think Argentina is the place that the marketplace is most interested in right now. It's been very dry in the westernmost parts of that country in recent weeks. Over this past seven-day period, we've actually improved the topsoil moisture situation in a large part of that region, but we still have a considerable amount of dryness deep in the soil. And the forecast is now offering two larger storm systems to move across Argentina between now and this time next week, but each one of them fails to produce much moisture of significance in the southwest. This would include parts of western Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and southern Cordoba. They produce a lot of corn, some sunseed and sorghum in those areas, and to a lesser degree, there's a little bit of oilseed that's produced as well, such as peanuts in southern Cordoba, which is actually a very important production region, and all these areas definitely need to get a bigger drink of water. I think they'll get a break a little bit later down the road, but for right now, it's a little bit of a concern.
Drew, thank you much.
Well, have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and that is this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.